Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have track and field legend Bruni Sorin as my special expert guest. As a member of Canada's Olympic team, Bruni Sorin was a gold medalist in the 4x100-meter relay at the 1996 Summer Olympics. In the 60-meter event, Bruni ranked first in the world three times and was a two-time world champion. In the 100 meters, Bruni ranked in the world's top 10 five times. His personal best of 9.84 ranks second in the world all time and is the fastest time ever recorded by a 32-year-old. Bruni has received many awards and honors, including Montreal Athlete of the Year, Quebec Athlete of the Year, the Dick Ellis Trophy, and Athletics Canada Athlete of the Year. Since retiring from track and field, Bruni has continued to pursue excellence as an entrepreneur. One of his many projects includes the development of a high-quality sports nutrition product line called Existence. By utilizing the same formula that brought him success in sport, Bruni has become a hard-working executive, always looking for new business opportunities. Good morning, Bruni. It's a privilege and honor to feature you as my special expert guest on this edition of SNU.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's wonderful. So, Bruni, how's your health doing this day? How are you feeling about life, and what's on your mind?
My health is great. You know, I'm still, it's been almost 6 years now that I'm retired, but I still try to go to the gym like three times a week. I'm taking, of course, my supplement, eating well, and life is good. Life is good.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, I really enjoyed meeting you in Vancouver for the first time, and we'll talk about some of the things that we said, but, you know, like, just to start off, let's go back in time and talk about, you know, Bruni as a young boy and how you developed an interest in sports and track and field and why you even had that interest.
Even before I came to Canada when I was seven, back in 80, where I was born, I was playing soccer at school on the street and everything. So sport was always part of my life. And how I get involved in track and field, first of all, in 1984, I was watching the Olympic, watching my hero, my idol, Carl Lewis, at that time win 4 gold medals. That was a source of motivation for me. And, of course, at the same time, I had a coach like who tried to recruit me to come in his club. And that's how I got involved in track and field. And more I like it. And I kept doing it.
Now, you mentioned Carl Lewis. You know, what a fantastic athlete. And he was your hero. You looked up to him. I guess you had a chance to meet him. And did you actually even outperform him? Is your time in the 100 better than his?
Yes. The funny thing is, when I started, I was saying to people, to my friends and everything, that one day I'd like to be like Carl Lewis. I'd like to jump as far as Carl Lewis. I'd like to run as fast as Carl Lewis. I mean, 99% of the people were just laughing at me, you know. So when I got involved very seriously, like I started by doing long jump, triple jump, and then when I started to sprint, and the peak of my career, when I ran 9:84, actually it took me about 2 hours to realize that I have just run faster than my idol. I mean, to me, that was a great story. And that's why today, when I'm talking to the kids, when I'm talking to the people who have big dreams and everything, I'll always tell them, don't listen to people that's going to tell you that you cannot do it. Because as long as you work hard, you have the passion on what you're doing, you can achieve everything, no matter what, you know? So that was a great motivation for me.
Wonderful. That's excellent. And you're certainly right about the work ethic. Now, you know, looking back at your Olympic career, you know, with all the politics and everything that we hear about the Olympics and with drugs and all the rest of it, how would you summarize your experience as a Canadian Olympic gold medalist?
You know, talking about all this thing with the drug issue, of course, I mean, this year even this past week, we saw what happened to Marion Jones, and I saw that story. I read everything on the news about her. I think it's very sad. I think at one point in my career, that was something that at some point almost discouraged me, because on the field, I saw what was going on. I mean, the thing is, athletes today, they don't have I always say that in life, there's no shortcut. I mean, a lot of athletes, they see the kind of money they can make by performing like right away. I mean, to me, of course, that they can realize that those performance is going to take longer, but the athletes doesn't want to wait, and they just cheat the sport. I mean, to me, when I see all this drug issue, drug athletes that they catch, I think it's killing the sport, and it's very sad when I see that. I mean, I used to see, like, guys on the field, like, in the 100 meters, I mean, they're taking, like, 20 pounds of pure muscle, like, in a couple of months, and they perform, like, right away. And I saw that on the field, and at some point I was like, this is not fair. At some point I was saying that, okay, I'm running this with those cheaters, and at some point I was like, well, that's something that I cannot control. So at that point I'm like, okay, whatever those athletes want to do, they are the one who will have problem with the health and the future, not me. At that point I just focus on myself and do what I get to do.
Now, with all the drugs around you, and of course, you know, they've been around me as well, you know, in the gym and in and off the field, what was the main reason? What kept you clean? What was it that you thought about? Why didn't you take the drugs? Because we know that they can take it to a new level, that once you reach your genetic potential, they can take you beyond that. So why didn't you take the drugs?
First of all, it came from my education. Just the fact that my mom and my dad always taught me, always stay clean. Don't envy other people because of what they have. They always tell me also, work hard, you can do whatever you want. And that's the kind of education that I had. And also, health-wise, we know that how dangerous that is. And when I saw that, when they make a survey, I mean, a lot of athletes were like, oh, they don't care. They would even take drugs if they know, like, in 5 years' time, they would have problems with their health. Like, a majority were saying that they would still do it. I mean, to me, it's sad because Why is the purpose that we do in sport? I mean, those people are doing it for the wrong reason. I mean, to me, that's something that never crossed my mind because it's not fair. I mean, that's not doing that, taking drugs, it's not sport. I mean, cheat, it's not part of my life. That never crossed my mind, and that will never cross my mind. And I still today, I don't understand why athletes does it.
You know, isn't it nice to look back and know that you were clean? Isn't it nice to hold your head up high and rather than put it down in shame?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I did some interview, and what I said to this guy, I said, when I said earlier, why are you doing sport? I remember when I did my best performance, 984, and I finished second. But what I said to those guys, I said, I realized that no, I could have run 9.7, drug-free, but yes, in that race, I finished second, but the happiness that I had finishing second and run that 984 drug-free, it was like I was even more happy than the guy who finished first, because to me that was a victory. That's what I'm saying, that you have to know why you're doing the sport. Is it just to finish first? Is it just to be what you want to be? I mean, when I said that to people, that I want to run 9.8, I'd like to run 9.7, and I see back to these people who were saying that, the 99% of people that were saying that it's impossible, and now I realize that I did it drug free. To me, that was a great satisfaction. You know, that's the victory.
Absolutely, very well said, my friend. Absolutely, what a tremendous standard, and what a great role model you are. That's so good to hear.
Thanks, man.
A man after my own heart, my brother. That's great. Well, listen now. Let's talk about that injury, because I was reading and going through your website and looking at your stats, and I by the way, I did watch you in the 96 4x1, and I really believed. Like, I didn't know you at that time, but I saw you run, and I think that you were the third leg in the race. Is that true?
I was third leg, yeah.
And it was because of you. I think that there was an excellent pass with the baton from, who passed the baton to you?
That was from Glenroy Gilbert to myself.
Right, yeah, and there was a great connection, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great moment. I mean, sometimes I'm trying to explain and to explain the feeling of being in the top podium at the Olympics. I mean, that's something, you know. I'm talking to you now about it, and I have boob gums, you know. It's like you in a dream, you know. Because I mean, when we were there, I mean, of course, that one of the favorites was also the U.S. team, and us. The only thing that the American media was saying prior to the race was, okay, yeah, well, U.S. is gonna win for sure. I mean, and they never mentioned us, because the year before we were world champion, And we'll just listen to those comments and everything. I mean, to us, it was even more motivation. So when we get that medal, I mean, to see, I mean, the crowd and to see the Canadian flag raised because of our performance, that was just a magic moment, you know. I'm still watching the tape today, and I'm still nervous about it, you know.
A real Kodak moment, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, you're right about that. And those moments we can treasure, and those are memories that stand out, and they're always clear, and we can draw them into our future and even help us through hard times, because we can connect with the real reason why we do things like you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even today, you know, because I'm doing a lot of speeches and companies and also in schools and everything, try to inspire the kids and everything. Because one thing I see a lot, it's like a lot of kids, like, they are scared to go after their dreams. Because I compare that to myself when I was saying to those people even before I started what I wanted to do, it's like, because it seems that it's too big and people tend to discourage you. And those kids, sometimes when they have dreams, they're like, oh, well, maybe I don't think I can do it, or it's impossible, I'm not good and everything. I try to teach them, no, go after your dreams and work hard, you can do it, you know. And before every time I go to the school, I show the 4x1 relay. And I explained them, like, when I started and everything, so I was like them, you know. I mean, I had the big dreams, and people would discourage me. I had to go after my dream. And because what I tell them also is, if I would have listened to those people who told me I cannot do it, never I would go after my dream, and I would miss that opportunity, you know. That and when I finished those speeches, I mean, it's great for me. I love doing it.
Absolutely. I can tell you're very passionate. We need that. We need lots of passion. That's fantastic. Now, when you're going through your career, I know that when we were walking across the hall at the Expo West, we were talking about these forces that were working against you. You know, people had told you certain things. And I think, as I recall, they said that you weren't strong enough or fast enough or big enough. And even when we started talking about supplements, they said they had no value. What are some of the examples that you were able to overcome? Or people said certain things about you or about life or your situation that you didn't believe, and how did you find that strength and courage to overcome that?
You know what? I mean, me, I always consider myself as I never listen to people, you know. And of course, because me, when I back in the days, you know, I wasn't doing weight training and everything. I was very small, and those people were saying, oh yeah, you're too small. And some other people were saying that, because you know what, also it's the big thing, when I started sprinting, that was back in 1989, and the year before, that was the year with the big saga about Ben Johnson being cut, you know.
Yes.
So when I was the next guy after Ben, so automatically the people were like, well, you're gonna have to take drugs too. It's impossible to do that without drugs. So that was a big barrier for me. And also another barrier I had, it's the weather in Canada. I mean, to do sprint, I mean, you have to practice the 100 meters and the straight lane. You know, I don't have that in Montreal. That's another thing that I always had to travel, go to the United States and everything. And that also, it's a lot of expense. That's the kind of sacrifice that I had to do. That I had to do also, because when you look all at that, all those forces against me, that I wasn't in the ideal situation. I had to create them, and I overcome that. And of course, like when I was saying to people that talking about supplement, that's something I always believed in. And a lot of people were like, well, supplement is not it's not steroid. You have to take steroid anyway, because supplement is not going to do anything. I mean, people doesn't have the knowledge of supplement. But even today, more and more I'm learning. More and more I'm going to the internet, and that was I was very pleased also to meet you at the CHFA in Vancouver. And I went to your website, and there's a lot of more things that I'm learning. And one thing that I cannot say regret, but things that I learned also about supplement, about recuperation, and also about technique and the running. When I knew those things, I was 32 years old. And that's the year I ran my best of 984. At that time, I was like, man, I wish I'd known all those things when I was back in 23, 24 years old. But anyway, it's too late.
So yes, I understand. On, you know? I understand what you're saying. Absolutely. Yeah. So how do we change that? That's what you're doing now. You're going out, you're talking to people. And what do you say about supplements? I mean, I know countless numbers of athletes who are world-class elites, Olympic athletes, and they're told not to take supplements for various reasons. They're contaminated, or they'll test positive, or they don't work, or they're even harmful. And what's your take on that position?
That's the big challenge for me, first of all, as an entrepreneur and also as an advisor. Like, I'm trying to teach the athletes the good thing about supplements and everything. One thing I was shocked, because I knew back then, I just went to Europe like 3 weeks ago. Like, in France, you cannot imagine. If you talk about a supplement, people like looking at you like you're a drug dealer. I cannot believe that. I mean, I know some athletes, I mean, a lot of athletes, they have to hide to take supplement because that's in France, also in Belgium. I was in Belgium also. It's something that it's very taboo. It's like if you take supplement, no matter what you're taking, it's considered like drug. I mean, me, as a owner of a supplement line, you know, I'm trying to make the mentality change, but you cannot change a mentality of a country like in a week. You know, it's impossible. But here in Montreal and also in the States, that's what I'm teaching those athletes the good thing about the supplements. And also I'm sponsoring a lot of athletes also, because I think with proper training, you do your rest, you take your supplement. I mean, you can do a performance exactly the same like people who's going to take drugs. That, I believe, it's going to be longer, but I think you can do it.
Right on. Now, let's talk about your supplement line, you know, this product line that you've called Existence. Tell us about that line.
A little bit after I retired, I have this lab who contacted me, because, you know, when we were talking before, like some athletes were saying that their product was contaminated and stuff like that. Matter of fact, it is true. In some case, there's some, I don't want to say no brand and everything. That's not the purpose. Like, especially supplements and United States, like, they don't have the same, like, now regulation as us now. Matter of fact, that almost happened to me back in the days. I went to a pro shop and I almost bought a kind of protein. I read the label. Everything was legal. For whatever reason, I didn't buy that product. And it's only like maybe a year or 2 years after that, they realized that the product has ephedrine in it, but they didn't put it on the label. Could you imagine if I would take that supplement and they would test me, and I would be positive, and then me go after that to the media, well, I didn't know I was taking the supplement, but my credibility would be over forever.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying to those people. The thing is, what you see on the label in my supplement, that's what you get. And also, I wanted to create something like new, because a lot of, almost all the products in the industry now, they like powder, pills, and I want to create something with liquid. Because, you know, as me, like a liquid, your body absorbs it faster. And I start talking to that lab. We create a line of a liquid supplement. I didn't want to target only athletes, because first of all, the market I try to go also a mass, but I have things for the athletes. I have a range of about 12 product now, going to, if you do sport like anaerobic, if you do aerobic sport, I have, of course, weight loss. You have to have weight loss in your product. That's a winner. Actually, now I'm just going to launch this week a new product, which is the water-based Udia. You know, the Udia, a lot of people go after the Udia weight loss.
Yes, the Udia. Udia with an H.
Udia with an H, yeah.
Yes.
But me, I'm going to have it with water base, you know. So we're going to be the first one in the market who was that as water.
That's fantastic.
You know, in Montreal this week, actually.
Yeah, so what your idea then is that being in a liquid base, they're utilized more efficiently, there's less waste, or the absorption is very high. Is that the idea?
Exactly, and also for also for old, if you say like old people also. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't want to take like every day your pill, your digestion system and everything have to digest it and everything. But of course, when you mix it with water or your juice, you don't dilute it. You just put a little bit of juice. I mean, you just drink it, and you don't even feel that you're taking. There's no bad taste in your mouth, and that's. I did about a year and a half of research. I tested with some regular person, not only athletes, and I tested also with athletes. So it's only when I was very satisfied with the product and we launched it and we put it on the market. But before I put it on the market, there was a lot of research behind it, actually.
Sounds like you're doing everything that's supposed to be done. Now, like say an anaerobic athlete, what product can you think of that you have that would be good for an anaerobic athlete?
I have one. It's called XO2 Endurance. It's a product that you're going to take, I would say, 15 to 20 minutes before your training. If you're going to do like, I don't know, five kilometer, or if you're going to do aerobic training, I mean, it's going to bring your plateau when you're going to get your tiredness more longer and your training. And also, because you have eucalyptus and internet, it's going to act like a, I don't know how to say that in English, bronchodilator. It's going to help you like breathe easier, and your aerobic training is going to be easier.
So it influences respiration.
Yeah, exactly.
The oxygen delivery system is enhanced.
Exactly, yeah.
Nice.
Actually, we tried with a lot of athletes. We have sponsor athletes like Ryan Aiden, who came second at the Sunrun Marathon this year. That's the second year in a row that we're the official sponsor of the Montreal Marathon, because we experienced that for the first year, and the people like it, and they ask us again to do it this year. We're again at the Marathon of Montreal this year, and we're going to associate with other sports event.
Now, I looked at your whey proteins, and very nice quality. They're isolates, and they're sweetened with stevia.
Yeah.
Very, very nice and clean. So a nice supply of protein as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm always trying to do the best thing, you know. I know that, you know, when I talk to people sometimes, they said, well, my supplement is very quality. And, of course, when you have the highest quality, that comes with the price. Because I could have confidence, I could have make supplements like, to me, would be costly cheaper. But I don't want to cheat the consumer. The consumer, I tell them that you buy my product, it's the best product that I can give you. But of course, that there's a price to it, or some people are gonna say, "Well, my product is less expensive, but you give the consumer cheaper product." Also, I'm not in that field. I just want to go like high quality, and that's the way I want to keep the brand.
Now, what do you find the market is like out there in Canada, Bruni, in terms of the attraction to health products from a mass market point of view?
The big difference I saw when I came to Vancouver and I went to the CHFN and Toronto also. Unfortunately, this year I didn't go, but I went last year. But especially in Vancouver, the mentality is more the people in Vancouver. They ask more questions. They ask you questions. They ask you questions instead of here. Like it's like more. Well, they see the bottle, they say, okay, well, the example, it's a weight loss. Okay, yeah, well, what weight loss? Okay, we take the product. But there, they're going to take the product, they're going to read and read and ask questions and ask questions. You know, it's very big mentality. It's not the same.
So you think that the consumer is more educated here, more aware?
I don't want to have a problem with my people in Quebec. You know, but I would say that people in Vancouver, they want to know more and more about what they're going to digest, which is good, which is very good.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, we've got the best health statistics in Canada are in West Vancouver and in Victoria. I mean, they have the least amount of health problems, and it does get worse as you move eastward from the West Coast.
Okay.
I think that generally the West Coast does feature a lifestyle that kind of ties in with athletics and being active and outdoors. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first time it's not the first time I went to Vancouver, but the first time I went to Vancouver for my supplement line, and I was talking to the people out there, I saw that right away, and I'm not surprised at what you just told me. I'm not surprised at all.
Now, looking back when you were in your peak state and you were, you know, really strong and quick, and I'm sure that our members and people listening would love to know what it is you were doing. Like, how rigorous were your workouts? Talk about your weight training, your sprint workouts, how frequently you train, things like that.
But you know what? I mean, a lot of time I'm talking to people about the kind of training regimen that I was doing. I mean, taking the proper supplement, taking proper, like, massage, go and see the chiropractor to have all your muscle, everything in a straight line, you know? And a lot of people were like, oh, man, Bruni, you exaggerate. I said, no, I'm not exaggerating, because I always say that to be in that level, it's like a Formula One. I mean, if everything has to be in place, I mean, you have no choice, because let's say, just an example, if my body is not in line or my hip is not balanced and I'm going to go do a sprint, there's a good chance that I can pull one of my muscles, because the muscle is not going to be in a parallel, they're not going to be straight, there's going to be a chance of injury. And the kind of training also we were doing a lot of plyometrics. I remember at some point, like, almost every day, 5-6 times a week, we were doing weight training after our regular training on the track. We're doing a lot of medicine ball training and everything. And when I say that to people, they say, well, you have to do all that to run fast. I mean, yeah. I mean, because today, till today, a lot of people think that, to run fast, you just take your shoes and you go to the track and you run. No, before you run that fast, there's a lot of preparation, because if your body is not prepared to run that fast or to try to run that fast, you're gonna get injured, because your body is not, your muscle is not ready to go that fast. That's what it is. There's a lot of preparation, and in my preparation, I would say easily four or five hours a day we're training, easily.
Now, would you say that the accessorization of the running, like you say, you just don't show up on the track and run. There's all kinds of other things that go into it. Would you also agree that there's a parallel there with life itself? Like, if you're going into work, like taking up a new career, you would say that you just don't do that career. You've got to reinforce what you're doing with a lot of other things. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the same. And it's funny that you say that, because what I learned doing track competition, and sometimes go well, sometimes you have bad days and everything. It's the same thing that now in my business, because I mean, someday we have bad news and everything. But when you have the bad news, you're not just gonna quit. You have to find ways to solve the problem and to keep working to work it out. I mean, some days, I mean, I don't feel like working. I don't feel like coming at the office and everything, but there's files to be done. You have to work. You have to get prepared. You have to meet your clients. You have to have follow-ups and everything. That's the same thing in life. But unfortunately, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, they want fast results. I mean, they just want to start something and be the top, like, right away. It doesn't go that way. That's the same thing in track and field. Same thing.
And life's a lot like that, isn't it?
Exactly.
Now, regarding other athletes that you know that you competed with that were in fantastic, excellent shape, and I've had this experience too, and then you haven't seen them for several years, and then you meet them, and then you don't say anything, but you look at them, and they're just completely out of shape. They've gained body fat. They're not training. They're not conditioned. Now, this seems to be more common than not, Bruni. Would you agree with that? Because I know that you're in great shape. You're still working out, and you're still doing it. I think I know the reason, because you have always had health in mind, but what's going on out there?
That's something I don't understand. I mean, I have a friend of mine. Like, I didn't see him because he lives in Africa. I mean, last time I talked to him, and he was like, "Oh, Bruni, you won't believe how much I weight." And that was a guy top shape, like no fat at all. He was like 185. He told me like he's like 250 now, And he was laughing about it. I'm like, are you kidding me? he goes, oh, yeah, because, you know, all this year I was working so hard, you know, now I'm just chilling. I said, well, of course, you're not going to train like you used to train like before. But, guy, you're an athlete. You're going to be athlete for life. You cannot just let yourself go like that. But not only that. I mean, if you let yourself go like that, I mean, you come fat and everything. I mean, think about your health. More and more, you're going to get fatter and fatter and fatter. You have risk of being non-healthy, being sick. I mean, that's not good, you know? And I don't understand why a lot of athletes after that, when they retire, they just let themselves go. I mean, I look at myself, I couldn't do it at all. I couldn't do it.
No, I know, and I can relate to that as well. Is it maybe tied into the fact that at the highest level of sport, it's almost like an adrenaline rush?
Yes,
and once you get that, you can't really get that because, you know, like when you're surrounded by 30, 50, 100,000 people, I mean, that's a rush.
Oh, my God. I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, I don't see what could I do today to recreate that feeling, like when I was, let's say, at the Olympic on the block and winning the gold medal to be on that podium. There's no way I cannot. I don't see how I could feel that again. There's no way because like you said, there's so much adrenaline to it. I mean, maybe if I do another sport, but anyway, I'm too old for that now. I try to be like you, but I can't.
So then we have to come down into the real world and go out, and then still the reality is that we do exist and our bodies are real and we have to take care of them, right?
Exactly. I mean, I always say that your body is like the best thing. You have to take care of it. You have to try to eat the best food and take your supplement, and that's what I'm teaching to people, because it's okay. Well, sometimes you have guys or girls who doesn't train, who doesn't take care of the body, and they have this nice car and they go and put the best gasoline in the car. I said, well, your body is more important. Why are you going to take care of your car better than your body? It doesn't make sense.
I know. It seems kind of crazy. I always say that the most important real estate in the world is the body you live in.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So make the investment.
Exactly. do like us.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? There's a lot of truth in what you're saying. And, you know, I think that you and I are a lot alike. And you know, we're friends in the same world. We're alive. We're here. We want to be well and we want to help people. And, you know, I really respect what you're doing, Bruni, now with moving into the health field and sharing the good news and sharing the gospel, the truth of wellness. I mean, people need to hear this. And who better than the kids in the schools?
Yeah, exactly.
So now we've got time for one more question, but before we get to that one question, let's let people know about your website so they can get to you and find out more about your product line.
The website is www.existence.ca. Existence with no E at the beginning. It's just existence.ca. And they can look at the product. We have online store. And we have a section that people can send us if they have a question about the products, and we answer them. They can call us. That would make us a great pleasure to answer them.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, and I will do my very best to promote your products and steer people your way, Bruni, with great pleasure.
Hey, thanks a lot, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So our time is gone, and I really enjoyed this conversation. And thanks so much for taking the time. You know, you're a busy guy. You got lots on your plate. So, and then just one final question. When people are trying to figure out what the heck they're doing in life and they're not quite clear, how does that man or that woman find that clarity? Perhaps they're, you know, in a position at work where they're not enjoying themselves and they're not well, or maybe it's a relationship, or maybe they're not exercising or training. They're not doing what they need to be doing. How do they overcome that hump, Bruni?
You know, that's something that's it's very tough, because I understand those people sometimes when they go through tough times. I mean, sometimes people go through divorce or their life is no good. They have a lot of problems. But I mean, believe me. I mean, when you go for there's a solution to every problem. That's guaranteed. I can guarantee you guys that. I mean, sometimes you just have to go for a walk, try to clear your mind, And when you have a problem, don't sit there and say, well, it's going bad, I have a problem, blah, 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 blah. Try to find the solution as fast as possible. There's a solution. And you just go from there. I mean, I don't want to always compare to me. I mean, sometimes, my career was going very bad and everything. After a race, I was running bad. And people see me, let's say, 1 hour after the meet, and they're like, man, you just run bad. You're not doing well, and you having fun. I said, well, what can I do? I know it's going bad. I'm trying to find that solution, and that's what I'm working to make it work. I cannot just sit there and say, well, it's going bad and everything. Go ahead, take a walk and everything, and try to find that solution. And I can guarantee you, exercise can relieve a lot of pain. That's, I guarantee you that.
The cure all for the world, huh?
Exactly.
Wonderful, wonderful. Bruni Sarin has been my special guest on this edition of SNU. What a marvelous man, and what an icon. What a great role model. A man that is moral and very noble and dedicated to his cause. A gold medalist, the most elite of all people in his heart and soul. Bruni, we thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.